Welcome to the Industrialise podcast, where we speak to those leading the charge towards the future of construction. This week, Darren Richards, Director of Code and Consulting, speaks to Mike Pitts, Deputy Challenge Director at Innovate UK. In this conversation, Mike talks about the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund, how to communicate the benefits of industrialised construction and boosting productivity across the industry.
Welcome to the Industrialised podcast, where we're joined today by Mike Pitts from Innovate UK. Welcome, Mike. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and your work at Innovate UK.
Pleased to be here. So, Mike Pitts, I am the lead for everything to do with the built environment within Innovate UK, a huge innovation opportunity space. That includes everything from how we deliver new buildings and infrastructure through to, more importantly nowadays, how we retrofit what's already there. And deliver net zero in terms of heat associated with buildings.
Okay, thank you for that. So today we're going to talk about industrialised construction generally and some of the quite exciting things that we think are coming down the track, not least the Industrialised Construction Conference in July, which we're grateful for you to be on the steering group of and to get your insight and some of your guidance. We think it's potentially a watershed moment for the industry, bringing everybody together to try and talk about what the future looks like. But I want to just go maybe back in time a little bit. You were heavily involved in the Transforming Construction Initiative and some very successful outputs that came from that. And I know there's some discussions around what the future might hold in terms of some other initiatives similar to that. Can you just give us a bit of an update as to what you felt were the biggest successes from that program and where your frustrations were maybe and what you think the future holds?
Nice big question. So the industrial strategy a couple of governments ago was the kind of founding place for this. So we had something called the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund, which is where some innovation funding was lined up around some of the sector transformation stuff we had to do. And for construction, that meant trying to tackle the issues around productivity that it has and being able to deliver the needed infrastructure across the UK with what is now an ageing and declining workforce. It was tied into a sector deal, so government promised to do some things, construction sector promised to do some things, and that was one of the most the first time the sector really come together and joined up on it. And aligned to that was to say, let's have a kind of national program, which ended up becoming the Transforming Construction Challenge, which really starts to do the things we've always said we wanted to do in construction, and that's move towards being much more like a process industry. There were three things we kind of tackled as part of it. And they were, first of all, can we procure on value? So let's look at the outcomes. Let's look at what assets actually do and procure on optimizing those. That then implies a system where you remove all the kind of steps in construction that add cost but don't add value, which in turn implies taking a more manufacturing-led approach. So the same kind of thing that process industries have done. And I come from a process industry background. I used to work as a chemist making pharmaceuticals, and I often joke, and it's received very well by the construction sector, that if we made drugs the way we make buildings, a lot more people might die because we're not making them the same way each time. And the third strand of what we're trying to do was to really, as part of that, trying to deliver some of the net zero ambitions around buildings. And could we make them an active part of the energy network rather than a load? And as part of that, so the aims were to bring down the cost, the time of projects, boost productivity. We had some pretty unreasonable targets, I think, to try to achieve that. And we demonstrated across the various investments we made that all of those could be achieved. But most importantly, we came and developed a set of tools and approaches for how the future market for construction could operate. And that's what I think still remains to be fully implemented, but we've certainly shown how it could work. And since the program, I wrote the business case for this and saw it right the way through to the end, so I'm still collecting data on this. We've seen a huge increase in the amount of R&D investment by the sector. It's almost a doubling compared to the previous 10-year period. And with that, per worker productivity has been rising. It's the only part of the economy really over the last 2 years to do that. So it's starting to close some of that that gap. Per worker productivity is going up. Per worker hour productivity is still part of the the part of the problem for construction. So it really is about the efficiencies. But so there's a good mix of good news, but I think to fully embed this, we really have to completely follow through the kind of switch that we demonstrated was entirely possible during the challenge.
And these issues around productivity, net zero, and digital transformation, they're all seen as kind of individual items, really. But this is a single kind of almost linear and complementary process here, isn't it, really? You know, productivity goes up, you probably reduce the carbon burden because you're not consuming as much energy, not creating as much waste, etc. And obviously digital as a transformation tool has been rapid in its accelerated expansion over the last couple of years. So I guess you're talking about just a new ecosystem really here, aren't you? You're saying let's move from traditional construction methods and just embrace all these new techniques, technologies, materials that are out there, but let's embrace them in quite a smart way, I think is what you're saying.
Absolutely. I think the main challenge for the sector is the kind of system that delivers buildings have kind of evolved into a situation that didn't work for anybody. So clients aren't necessarily getting what they want. So a lot of risk is transferred onto the supply chain. You get very low margins for the contractors who aren't as involved as they'd like to be in kind of shaping the briefs. And what we kind of saw was the challenge in all of that was that the system had evolved to deliver the cheapest asset, not the one that delivered the greatest value over its life cycle. And that's partly because every time we build a building, we're building a prototype. We don't build buildings using the same process each time. And if you don't have a standardized process, and I know this from my background, you can't even begin to start thinking about digitizing it or automating it because it just varies so much. So a lot of this was where are the opportunities to standardize the process? How can we learn from other sectors and how they've done that? And that's the real big opportunity on that. And then all the rest of the stuff follows. So then you start to reduce waste. You start to reduce waste of time on site, not just materials. That starts to build the efficiencies. And in simple things like in the supply chain, when your supply chain's, say, for example, delivering three different staircases because you've got three different house builders with ever so slightly different ceiling heights, that's not a value part, right? That to some degree, they're already standardized. They're all very close to each other, but they're not exactly the same. So we generate and create these huge inefficiencies. And the beauty of running a program like this out of something like Innovate UK, where we're part of the bigger body called UK Research and Innovation, is we can start to pull in the best of those other sectors, start to bring in the best of manufacturing thinking, the best of digital technologies, the best of the energy innovation that's happening now to say, how could we build buildings in a much better way in the future that deliver the value that they should? For the occupants, the users of those. Because the data is pretty clear, right? The construction sector underpins almost half of GDP. You know, the economic and social infrastructure that we have is absolutely vital to our economy. Investment in infrastructure is investment in growth.
And the way I see it is that there's unfinished business, really, you know, from the Transforming Construction Initiative and Construction Innovation Hub, etc. You know, the industry needs to rekindle the spirit of that, and it strikes me politically that there is a desire for construction to be seen to be as important as you've just described it. You know, I think for many years construction's been perhaps perceived to be an industry that's a little bit sidelined, even though it is important at the heart of everything we do. And I don't think governments over the years have really acknowledged, you know, that GDP contribution that you're talking about. They probably knew about it, but they've probably not thought about it as you've just described it. But also there's an opportunity here to make construction more of a sexy industry, you know, an industry that actually is technologically advancing, you know, to attract new skills to it, to get a younger generation to come to this industry. Because, you know, we have a major skills problem with traditional building methods, don't we? So communicating all of the good work that came out of these initiatives is important as well, isn't it? So how do we do that? How do we shout more about our successes, do you think?
One of the things we tried to do was to tell a story for the sector. I mean, I'm blown away by how much the construction sector has a role in delivering a much better economy and standard of living in the UK and around the world, of course. And we talk ourselves down. You know, we are one of the more productive construction sectors in the world compared to other nations. You know, we were building on the back of years of innovation from the sector itself. What we're really trying to do is get everyone to work together. The system has to move as one, really. And so showing people what was possible. So one of the reasons we had the Construction Innovation Hub was so we had prototyping facilities. We could build parts of a hospital, build parts of a school with different supply chains coming together, showing how this would work. And that those days were the great days. They were the days when clients came in, looked at it and said, oh, I get it now. Right, okay. You know, the construction something you kind of got to experience. The funding we did delivered a lot of real buildings. There's people out there living in social homes that were delivered better under our program. There's we had the world's first kit of parts office building now occupied and delivering. It's a net zero building. These are we've affected so much change. Government actually changed the way it procured buildings through outputs like the Value Toolkit and the Platform Rulebook, which kind of said how you do this. In the future, how you can procure in a different way than we have been doing so that we don't just deliver the cheapest asset we can and it doesn't quite work and we don't manage it properly and we don't get any of that kind of value that was there to be designed, that was designed in the beginning. And then we get our feedback loop so that we design them better in the future. That's what's exciting to me. But for me, the construction sector, absolute heroes, real heroes in this world, being able to bring down emissions, deliver a net zero economy, place make, deal with things like fuel poverty, deal with issues like energy security, while creating infrastructure that makes the whole of our economy operate better. The last thing that we were really proud of coming out of the programme was some of the work we did with the Active Building Centre as well, which is where we look to say, how can you make buildings an active component of an energy system so they can generate, store and manage their own energy, and they're not just a load pulling energy out of the network. And we were able to show within that if you get the design thinking in early, all that kind of knowledge, you can make a net zero building for less than the cost that we are building non-net zero buildings now. And that's because the slight extra cost in capital in adding in renewable technologies, of course, then gets offset by some of the things you don't have to do, like connections to the gas grid and upgrading the energy network around it, because it is an active component. But what's really important there is then that building then is much, much lower cost to run, generally can have, just generating less pollution. It's a cleaner, better building. And that's what we really want. At the end of this, we want to be able to say, if we could build two different schools and one of them, the cognitive performance of the children is higher, why wouldn't we build that version?
And so communicating those successes, which is part of the challenge, I think, because often people look at it and go, well, that's just experimental, because really our challenge is to prove the experiment, get the evidence and then roll it out in volume. And, it needs the right type of client or the right mindset from a client to come and say, well, I want one of those. I've read everything about this prototype or this pre-production unit that you've built. I want one now. And I think one of the challenges for our industry is we've got to communicate all the good things you just said a lot better. We've got to find better ways of engaging with clients, haven't we? And, the people, the stakeholders, really.
Absolutely. I mean, we do need to industrialise our approach to delivering new infrastructure, new homes and retrofit as well. The government's committed to upgrading 5 million homes this parliament. It's committed to 1.5 million new homes. It's committing to a very, very large infrastructure pipeline. And we're having to deliver that with a workforce that's projected to decline due to the kind of age profile that it has. So that implies we have to kind of tip in from the manufacturing sector. We have to look at much more industrialised approaches to how we deliver all of this. And that means a system moving all together. So the ways when we can demonstrate that and we can be really powerful in understanding where the opportunities lie in all of this, that's the kind of next phase. So we know how to do it. We know it kind of works. It's then actually committing to this at scale as one big system. And that means leadership from clients. Obviously, the biggest client for construction is government. So there's a real rich opportunity here now for government to show the kind of leadership it's done in the past in things with the construction sector like its commitment towards BIM, which made the UK world leaders in understanding, you know, using digital tools to design, build, and then manage buildings. And it's all connected, of course. It's all connected.
And do you see the collaboration within government between departments? I mean, have we got healthcare speaking to education, speaking to MOD, to MOJ, etc.? Is that dialogue happening? Because if that happens, then it's a powerful...
That's starting to happen. And I think having a program really helps that convening. As we said, when we had the Construction Innovation Hub, we had the kind of prototyping setup that could do this, show it, then people understood it. One of my favourite things, when we built the sand pits, we built the Construction Innovation Hub, we built these two sand pits, we built part of a school, part of a hospital. And the contractor that came on to do this, basically bringing these different components to the site, where the rules would set how they would go together. So it's not one manufacturer providing all of it. And the contractor that came in said, yeah, we'll do the job, but we don't think it's going to work. You know, absolute skeptics. By the time they'd finished delivering those two buildings, they were complete converts, massive evangelists for this approach, because they could see some of the benefits. And what we were really starting to learn is that, you know, because you're looking at it, it's a system. Often you're looking at optimizing your part of that system. When you look at optimizing it as a full process, sometimes you might spend a bit more money or a bit more effort at one point very early in the process that makes everything downstream that much more efficient. So the tolerance is, this is one thing I noticed, is the tolerances on buildings are actually relatively broad. You know, it is kind of, I'm sure the right term is
feet
bodge,
and inches.
But it's kind of pulled together. But, you know, you wouldn't see that in manufacturing. You know, we're talking down to millimetre. There's no reason why we can't have millimetre tolerances for buildings. But when you do, when you start to approach that level of tolerance, the costs come down because everything's where it's meant to be. The fit out, every subsequent job, once you've got the structure in place accurately, is faster, it's lower cost, it's smoother, it's easier, it's more productive. And that starts to bring a lot more certainty to projects. So that's where the ambition needs to be. And there's no reason why that can't be demanded in procurement, because we know how to do it.
I agree entirely. And I think, you know, the shift towards assembling of buildings rather than constructing buildings, I think, is an important element of the whole kind of DFMA, design for manufacture and assembly process. Because we talk about the manufacturing process, but it's got to be in lockstep with the installation, you know, the physical construction process on site as well, isn't it? So where do you see the barriers potentially then? Let's put aside, let's say the government funds this, we've got a spending review coming up, we've potentially got a big announcements around national infrastructure strategy and various other things. So let's say all that drops into place. Where will the barriers be still? Will it be in the hearts and minds of architects and designers? Do you think they'll embrace this? Will it be contractors who say, well, we don't do it that way? Where do you see the biggest resistance to change and to adopt industrialized construction methods coming from?
Well, there's always a danger everyone looks at everyone else and says, I'm waiting for them to be different. Oh, we're happy to change, but I don't see them doing it. So the more we can demonstrate, and often this works best in projects, of all elements of that process moving together and all winning. So this is about aligning incentives. Everybody gets a better outcome. That's what we need to lay out. I think from client perspective, that means real mindset shifts in procurement. It does mean from the kind of design end of things, being much more driven by delivering outcomes and being paid for delivering better outcomes. And that's where you're spending your time, rather than necessarily redesigning a structure that does the same thing. And working within some of the potential limits of a more standardised process, it doesn't take away the creativity at all. But focusing your efforts on delivering that kind of value from that asset.
Yeah, we're not talking here about cookie cutter buildings, are we? We're talking about invisible standardization of components and elements of that building. We can still have the creativity. It's just about embracing it in a different way, isn't it?
Well, that opens up a lot of innovation as well. Yeah. This is what's really interesting for us, is once you start to standardize some elements of components, it's a lot easier for innovative new materials or innovative new components to start to be incorporated. It all starts to open up the opportunities around a much more circular economy with components, because you start to know they're going to be coming of standard sizes, and you can start to think about how you reuse them in future buildings. So there's a whole lot of innovation that comes off the back of a kind of operating model for construction that's very close to what we have now. It's just we start to fix a few things that we already know are to some degree standardized already, by convention. Let's do it properly.
Yeah.
And that is, again, how other industries have boosted productivity, allowed a huge amount of customization to happen as well, while delivering the end value for that consumer, the end occupant, the user of those products.
Well, I think other industries, those that have already industrialized and have been industrialized for decades now, probably have a slightly more open-minded approach to collaboration and shared ownership of ideas. You know, they are more comfortable about where intellectual property lies, and you know that actually if you collaborate, develop a system, something like the seismic system, I think, which was one of the initiatives I think that came out of what we're talking about here. You know, if everybody was to share in that, you can share the burden of the R&D cost, you know, and ultimately you all get the gain at the end. Are we really ready for that level of collaboration in construction? I still see a lot of siloed, arms folded, protectionism, if you like, you know, people who don't want to give away the best ideas. How do you think we break that down?
Well, we see this across all the kind of sectors we work with in Innovate UK. You know, pre-competitive collaboration is, you know, absolutely encouraged. Let's collaborate on the things where we could standardize and where everybody benefits, everybody wins. Trying to create multiple systems that don't work with each other just undermines everybody's, you know, end goal here, particularly when it's largely invisible to the end user. So, you know, I think the businesses that did embrace this during transforming construction have been successful, have moved forward on that. So yeah, I think it will come with experience and seeing those benefits, and that's again where sharing some of the costs of trying this through innovation projects that we funded, the collaborative projects, that's really where you start to learn, and you learn to trust each other and work with each other. That's always been the characteristic of any collaborative R&D project that Innovate UK fund, is that you tend to have a relationship that lasts beyond that kind of public funding, because during that time you learn working together does have benefits for both of you. So yeah, that's been the value of the R&D programs, but you know, businesses will, once they experience it, they don't tend to want to go back.
No, I've seen that. You know, once they're converted, they stay converted, don't they?
Yeah, once you save money, you're not going to go back to doing the old way of things.
No. And I think, you know, we may see licensing agreements more prevalent around technology in the future, you know, so there is revenue streams for the owners of the intellectual property above and beyond just the use of the technology. You know, again, that's prevalent in other aerospace and automotive industries, for example. So again, that's about maturity, isn't it? You know, collaboration, trust, and having a mature view on things, I think, you know, for the greater good. I think that's going to be around the corner. The R&D element, just touching upon that, you're obviously very familiar because I think you were involved in perhaps created some of the funding mechanisms for the likes of the Manufacturing Technology Centre, Advanced Manufacturing Research Centre up in Sheffield. These organisations, these facilities, absolutely world class, you know, and used by, again, aerospace and automotive quite heavily, especially up at the AMRC. My view is we need to promote those facilities better. We need people from construction to be knocking on the door and saying, I've got an idea, can you help me develop it? How do we go about doing that? Do we need to facilitate more open days? You know, is it a communication thing? Do we need to do more demonstrations? I mean, we have these fantastic facilities, and I personally think they're underutilized.
They are, and I think it's seeing it's for them, having people that speak their language. One thing we learned during the Transforming Construction Challenge is that when bringing manufacturing to people together with construction, you do have to sit in the middle and help them translate between each other. They both think they've got the right answers. I would say the construction side are actually in some ways more pragmatic. You know, if something works, they'll implement it, you know, to the surprise of some of the manufacturing guys going, well, hang on a second, you know, if this was in an aerospace, we'd do 10 years of testing. And like, yeah, of course you would, because you don't want planes falling out of the sky. But equally, you know, in construction, it's if it works, it's brought on. You know, it's much more innovative sector than it gives itself credit for in that respect. But yeah, I think that it's getting them on the same page. Manufacturing think certainly might have the tendency to step in and go, yeah, we'll completely redesign everything you do. And that's not fully listening and fully understanding what's happening and the needs for the construction sector to work differently. But there's a lot they can learn from them. And it's not just manufacturing. As I said, it's some of the best successes we had were bringing in businesses that were real experts in say artificial intelligence or, you know, renewable energy, who very much understood some of the challenges in construction and could deliver a product or a service that could radically change, you know, how projects were planned or assessed, or how a building was built in a way that it did generate and manage its own energy.
Yeah. And, you know, by demonstrating, physically demonstrating it, you know, you can convert people. You just need to somehow get the messaging right and the communication right, I think. So we've conceived this idea. You're on the steering group for the Industrialised Construction Conference, which we think, well, we hope will be a watershed moment for the industry. I mean, our challenge is to try and get the right people in the room and not have the industry talking to itself. So, you know, very much appreciate you being on the steering group and giving your insights into that. What do you hope the conference will achieve? If you could summarise the objective of it, because we know we're going to see lots of good case studies and hear lots of thought leadership. But fundamentally, what do you hope it's the catalyst towards?
What I really hope comes out of it is an understanding that this transformation is underway. It's kind of irreversible now. And the more you learn, and the faster you adopt to be part of a different kind of system, the more successful you're going to be. You know, we have to do this. But there's no way we can deliver the kind of level of commitments the government have made in terms of, you know, on behalf of the construction sector without some change. So it's a huge opportunity for UK overall. It's a huge opportunity for the manufacturing sector to diversify and move into this space. There's a real opportunity here, I think, to improve margins for construction companies. So what we want them to do is really buy in to just being and collaborating where it makes huge amount of sense and build a will to do so. And work together to continue to define what this future operating model for construction really will look like.
Yes, and you know, to a certain extent, to pick up on some of the Construction Leadership Council work, you know, that Ron Lang's been doing around defining industrialised construction and saying, this is what we mean by it, guys. Let's all buy into this definition and let's be clear as to, you know, what the tools are within the toolkit of industrialised construction. So I hope that, you know, that the event inspires people, but equally that it is the catalyst for collaboration, that like-minded individuals will go away from it and say, do you know what, we could do this together. You know, let's jump in together, you know, contractor, architect, designer, engineer and client, and let's go and do something special. And, you know, hopefully it's an inspirational couple of days. And you know, we've got some international speakers on the program, and my own personal hope is that we'll be able to benchmark ourselves against some of those international industrialized construction initiatives as well, you know, to see where does the UK rank. You know, are we ahead in some areas, are we falling behind in some areas? So, you know, it's quite an exciting proposition, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I really want to see is the sector raise its ambition, look up to the horizon and say, you know, we are absolutely fundamental and we're bought into this. And I think this is a transition where everybody wins, you know, and I really want to get that energy and that feeling happening across the sector. Mm. People understand, you know, their role that they will play in this transition and how much it will benefit them and their clients.
I agree. Okay, well, Mike, thank you very much for your time this afternoon. It's been a real pleasure to discuss, you know, your views, your opinions around industrialised construction, and also to kind of remind ourselves we've done some good stuff over the years, or, you know, you guys have done some good stuff over the years, you know, hopefully there's something exciting around the corner and we can get this initiative rolling. So appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Industrialised Podcast. This podcast was produced by Radar Media. The views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Radar Media. If you enjoyed any of the themes discussed, then the Industrialised Construction Conference is the perfect place to hear more from the experts who are dedicated to the advancement of the construction industry. For more information, head to www.industrialisedconstruction.co.uk.